Let the church say amen. You are all I need. Amen. Amen. We welcome you to Crossroad Baptist Church. Those who are online, those who are in the building, and you that are in the parking lot, we welcome you. As you see, we've come here to worship. Worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. I just want to bring your attention to the building today. There's been a change going on here at Crossroad. As we see, we've got new banners. Hallelujah. In the highest. It's so beautiful in here. And me personally want to thank the committee who have done this. Because each time we've come in, we see a change. Not only in our building, not only in our community, but in the world. Things are changing all around us. But we here at Crossroad can say, hallelujah, in the highest. Amen? Because we come to worship in spirit and in truth. We thank the committee and those who are involved in the change. Because it brings joy in our lives when we can come and worship God in his beauty and holiness. Amen? Amen. So we thank you from the depths of our hearts, those who are involved in the change here at the church. Sunday school was excellent this morning. Those who were online and those who came, we talked about humility, humbling ourselves before God. God was even willing, Jesus was willing to wash the disciples' feet. That was an example for us, just to be humble, to serve, be willing to serve. Jesus was willing to wash some feet. What are you willing to do? That's all we ask of you. Just be willing. Come and serve. The youth department needs help. The usher boards. Come and be a servant. Be a servant. Be willing to serve here at Crossroad. Amen? Amen? All right. That's enough of the announcements from me. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 31. Psalms 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that thou hast laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. And to thine hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord of truth. I have hated them that regardeth lying vanity, but I trust in the Lord. I'm going to stop there because y'all can read the rest for yourself. Amen? God's word for God's people. Amen.
Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters. Let's give the Lord some praise. Oh, come on, let's celebrate the Lord before he's good. Amen. Say what people will. The Lord is still answering prayer. Say it again. The Lord is still answering prayer. Amen. We all go through trials and tribulations and heartaches and even tears in the eyes and have pain in our hearts. But when we go through, just invite the Lord in. Amen. And watch him answer your prayer. Amen. He might not come with the way you want him to come, but he's always on time. Matter of fact, sometimes he say yes, sometimes he say no, and then sometimes he say wait. Then also, he says, my grace is sufficient. Amen? Oh, give the Lord a hand clap, amen. Amen. I'm celebrating because God has answered my prayers in the past. You know, sure, we're praying to God for prayers for more and more, get all we can and can we get. But think about the goodness of the Lord and what he's done yesterday to bring us to today. Amen. And that's a good thing, amen. Can we pray? Lord God, once again, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we come to call upon the Holy Spirit. We come to invite you in, Lord, into the church, into online, into our hearts, into our minds. Lord God, give us a spirit to worship, to enjoy you, Lord, to adore you, to magnify you, because you are God. Lord God, we thank you for being good. Lord God, I don't know how I made it, but because of your grace, and because of the mercy. Lord God, even last night I felt a little sick. But Lord God, I prayed for your grace. Lord God, even last night I didn't know what tomorrow holds. But I remember who holds tomorrow, Lord God. So I thanked you. Thank you for being good. Thank you, Lord God, for just putting a shelter over my head. Thank you, Lord God, for putting food on my table. Lord God, thank you, Lord, for so many things, Lord God. But because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of your kindness, Lord God, we pray. Lord God, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord God, into our minds. Come into our focus. So we set our minds on you. Because you are God. Thank you for being good. Thank you, Lord God. So right now, Lord God, we come for into your house with thanksgiving. And to your courts with praise. Oh God, we're thankful for what you have done. Lord God, build a shelter over our head. Build, Lord God, a refuge. Build a strength. Build a very present help in a time of trouble. Oh God, for we invite you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come unto Papa Coleman. Allow him to preach your words. Come unto this choir here. Allow them to sing songs of Zion. Come unto us, Lord, so we can just worship. For we can adore you. Thank you for being God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Amen. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. We certainly need God to bless and move in our lives. Well, we greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you're attending online, it's good to have you join us online. We can't thank God for you, those in the parking lot and those that are joining us on WLLL later. We certainly praise God and give him all the glory. Let's give the Lord a great big hand clap. Amen. Got a couple of things we want to announce that you would continue to keep in prayer. Donna Johnson, she is recovering, and ask the Lord to continue to bless her, as well as Trustee Vincent Patterson Jr., that you would pray for him as he recovers, and also pray for the Gregory family. On last night, we learned that Carolyn Younger and Brother Gregory had lost their mother. So we ask that you, Brother Jerry Gregory, you keep them in prayer. Our service will be held at the Level Run Baptist Church later. I guess that's going to be posted. Miss Delma Gregory, love the Lord, and thank God she's with the Lord now. Amen? Amen. So keep them in prayer. Pray also for the Davis family. We lost a great man in our community, Bert Davis, pastor and funeral director. Certainly keep them in prayer. In a few minutes, we're going to be celebrating those March birthdays. Can you believe it? Another month, amen, that we have seen. And so we want to remember the March folks. Keep in prayer also Ms. Ruby Mickles, Ms. Naomi Johnson, Tony Smith, Ingrid Dunneville, Frank James, and we ask that you keep Mary and Albert Gregory, Bridget Brown, and Tamalyn Austin, and Brother Charlton. Keep them in prayer as the Lord would bless them. Pray for our youth, that the Lord would continue to use them in a great way and keep them in his will. Pray for the people in Ukraine. I can't imagine what it would be like to wake up and bombs are dropping all around you. But we know that God will bring ultimate peace. We are assured of that. Amen? So we just have to keep our trust in him. Also, we need some volunteers for our upcoming car show. That's going to be on April the 30th. So it'll be prayerfully nice weather that's coming up. And it's we're dedicating this to Deputy Jason Saunders. It's going to be a memorial car show honoring him for his service as he died in the line of duty. So we will be having that on April 30th. So we need folks out here about 7:30 in the morning to help us out. You all did a great job last year, and we're certainly encouraging you to take part with that. Now, it's not just going to be the car show. Some of you may be wanting to come to have documents shredded. We're going to have a shredder here. We will also have the medication take back, those old pills that you no longer need to take. You need to get rid of them, and we're going to have a way for you to do that. So that's going to be on April 30th. All day long from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., certainly we're asking the volunteers to come out early and be a part of that. And we also will be having on the 19th, March 19th, going to have our third health and wealth seminar here at the church. It's going to be at 12 noon. If you have not signed up for one, you need to get into this. A lot of things that can help you both with your finances and with your health. I didn't know how important water was until I attended. And I knew I was drinking it, but it didn't, you know, you kind of want to do things. And then, but it just gives you a better understanding where you can ask questions. Chef D. Saunders will be here along with Damon Bolden, and they will be hosting that seminar. We certainly will have our own nurse here, Sister Shirley Johnson. She'll be here to answer any questions that you may have about certain things, but I want to make it available to you. It's not just about being here on Sunday, but some of the other things that can help you keep coming here on Sunday, so be a part of that. Sunday school every Sunday. You can attend either in person or on Zoom. You will need to send me an invite, and the Sunday school is at 9 a.m., as well as on Tuesday nights, Sean has prayer with the youth. Every Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m., you will need to contact Sean. You can send us a request at pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll be able to get you into
both the Sunday school Tuesday night as well as on Wednesday nights when we have our Bible study. So send us a note and we'll include you in that. Got a couple of thank yous. Want to have a thank you that comes to us from Frank James. He says, "You spread good deeds like flower seeds that blossom where they've been. So grateful for all of you and for all that you do. Thank you so much for your cards, calls, prayers, and thoughts. Special care, Frank James." So continue to keep Frank in prayer. Amen. Boy, y'all quiet. Great day. Make me nervous. Amen. This thank you comes from Conchetta Smith. "It was awesome of you and appreciated more than words can say. Thank you, Conchetta Smith." And some things happening around our community. White Rock Baptist Church pastor Ricky Hellstock will be celebrating his 17th anniversary at the White Rock Baptist Church in Lynchburg. And the guest speaker is going to be Bishop James Cam. That's going to be happening on Sunday, March 20th at 3 p.m. So that's the service for Pastor Ricky Hellstock. And then we have also today, Reverend Carl B. Hutchison. Dr. Carl B. Hutchison will be retiring from the First Baptist Church of South Lynchburg. Today will be his last Sunday. That service will be at 11 a.m. I might get you out here by that time, but we'll have to see. Amen. And those are the things that's coming before us. Doing a lot in the community. Our youth go out every second Saturday. Second Saturday, third Saturday. Okay. Anyway, they go out and they provide food for the food bank. So we're asking that if you want to be a part of that, please let Sean know, and he will certainly include you in that. Amen? Going to get ready for our offering, but first we want to recognize the March birthdays. Anyone with a birthday in the month of March, you need to stand because it's a blessing to have a birthday. Amen. Amen. Shay got Reverend and Mrs. Ray. Amen. Both y'all have birthdays in the same month. Oh, my goodness. Joe Wilson, amen. Sister Jones, God, amen. Charlene. Let's sing happy birthday to these folks. Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you.
May God bless you. Now we're getting ready for an exciting time at the church. We get an opportunity to give and to offer unto the Lord. For those of you that are online, go to our website, crossroadbc.com, where you too will be able to participate in this wonderful gift of giving. May we all stand as we present our gifts unto the Lord.
Let us pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for health and strength, for food and clothing and shelter, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you woke us up this morning, Lord, in our right mind. Thank you, Lord, that we was able to put our feet on the floor, Father, and go about our daily tasks, Lord, that you have given us strength to do, Lord. For as we reach that golden age, Lord, we things that we took for granted in times past, Lord, now we see what our elders told us about our aches and pains and shortcomings, Father. Just keep on living, they say. And, Father, you have grace and mercy have followed us all the days of our lives, Lord, that we have reached that point that you allowed us to be above, to be among the living. And Father, but it was only by your grace and mercy that we have arrived at to this point. So Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. And Father, there are those that still toil and labor, Lord, and and going through struggles of life, Lord, anxieties and cares of this life, Lord, and some may be heavy burden today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that they would just cast all their cares upon you, for you tell us that you care for us, Lord. And Father, may we take that to heart, Lord, and amongst all our troubles, Lord, let us remember the blessings that you have already bestowed upon us. So, Father, in appreciation for all that you have done for us, Lord, you have allowed us, Lord, to accumulate wealth. It is you that give us power to gain wealth. And, Father, we come with a portion of gratitude to return back to you. Father, we ask you that you will bless these offerings. And, Lord, we realize that there may be some, Lord, that didn't have anything to give today. But, Lord, we just ask you to bless them as well, that a better day is coming. So, Father, we ask you for your wisdom now that these offerings may be used in a manner that's pleasing before you. These and all blessings we ask in thy Son Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Let the church say amen. One thing that we wanted to remind you also is that we'll be having our church meeting on March the 25th. Am I right? Yes, March 25th. It's going to be at 7 p.m. It will be here in person. So we ask those of you that would like to attend, please come out and be a part of our church meeting. Amen? Amen. Boy, y'all are quiet today. I like that. I'm going to preach now. Amen. Turning your Bibles to the book of James, the letter of James, writing to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. And we're not going to talk about deal with it, but we're going to go to a couple of other verses in that first chapter of James. Just one verse that we want to focus on today. As a matter of fact, let's read it together, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We just want to share with you today the subject, the riches of God's wisdom. Write that down in your notes, right beside that verse. The riches of God's wisdom. Why do we need God's wisdom? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have, an opportunity to proclaim your word. We pray that you would speak through us, help us, Lord, as you have shared with me the things that we need to do and how to respond in a way that glorifies your name. I pray that you would bless us now through the gift of the Holy Spirit to share insight into the things that every child of God needs in their life. I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you've read it in your Bible. I've certainly read it in mine, that wisdom is better than gold. And you scratched your head and said, is that right? Wisdom is greater than silver and all the riches of this world. Now, we look at that with suspicion because we don't really understand the value of wisdom. We've been talking about the riches of God and the things that God will give. Of course, our verse that we focus on is Matthew 6:33, and I'll be referencing that in a little bit. But it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And we automatically focus on all these things being added rather than seeking the kingdom of God as our highest priority. How many of you would agree that you lack wisdom? You don't know everything. You might know some things, but you don't know everything. Did you not know that without wisdom, if you had all the riches of the world, you would not keep it long? You would not use it wisely because you would be lacking that gift. It's amazing how that with a little bit of knowledge, you can take a small thing and use it to a great extent. How many of you had very little money, but you were able to stretch it? Maybe you looked at things that were going on, and normally you would have to call somebody to take care of it, to correct it, but through wisdom, God would show you how to repair things, how to fix things, or how to do things in your life. That's the wisdom of God. You cannot live, you cannot exist without God's wisdom. And so James asked this question, do you lack wisdom? And the obvious answer is, yes, we do. But a lot of people will not admit, I don't know what I need to know. I'll clarify that in just a little bit. But there are several things that we're going to bring out over the next couple of weeks talking about God's wisdom. One is to recognize the need for God's wisdom. Why do I need God's wisdom? Why Do I need it? Then secondly, we want to realize our capacity for wisdom. It's different from recognizing the need. When you realize the capacity, you want not just a little bit, but you want so much of God's wisdom so that your life overflows with it. David said in Psalm, "My cup runneth over." Please understand, the wisdom of God is not to make you smarter than everybody. It's not to give you supernatural capacity to be a know-it-all. Anybody in the building today? But this wisdom of God is to prepare you for the things that God is bringing about in your life, either to tell you about it and to give you what you need to make it through whatever it is you need to go through. How many of you all have said in your life, "I don't know how I made it, but somehow I made it"? Wisdom will tell you how you made it. Wisdom will explain to you, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't have made it. Are y'all still in the building? So wisdom, we want to recognize the need for wisdom. We want to realize our capacity, because a lot of us only want God's wisdom in small portions just so that we can get things done, and then we tuck God away until our next need comes. So James says, do you lack wisdom? Are you missing something in your life? And then we'll also talk about the process of attaining God's wisdom. And then lastly, we'll find out how to apply wisdom appropriately. I've seen folks that say they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they want to impress you with their spirituality. That ain't wisdom. Sometimes wisdom will tell you, shut up. When you want to say something, when you feel like you need to say something, the Holy Spirit will say, shh. Blessed quietness. Are y'all still here? So let's go a little ways, and let's explore what James is trying to tell us as far as why you need wisdom. Why do you need wisdom? I was certified when I was working, and I'm not employed in the public sector anymore, but when I was working, they had this thing called ROMA, Results-Oriented Management and Accountability, ROMA. And part of that, if you were in the industry of trying to help people, you've got to find out what that person needs. Don't try to help me if you don't know what I need. And so what they wanted to do is to help people understand, ask questions, get involved in that person's life so you will know what they need. One of our biggest issues in the church is that we don't know what folks need. We'll give them what we think they need, but we've never really sat down and asked them, what is it that you need? Sometimes people don't always know what they need. And so it takes the prompting of the Holy Spirit to find out what the need is. That's why we have this thing called the body of Christ. And we're disciples. We're constantly learning about what it is that God would have us to do. But it all begins with, what do you need? James really, in this verse, is saying, what do you really need? If you're going to deal with the issues of life, if you're going to make it through these trials and circumstances that you're facing, in the language of Roma, we would ask, what do you need? And James says, high on your list should be the wisdom of God. That ought to be the thing that you want first and foremost. People say, oh, I just need all these gifts. I need all these wonderful things. It's not going to do any good if you don't know how to handle it. If you don't know how to approach things in life, and you don't have the wisdom of God, how in the world do you think you're going to be a problem solver in life if you don't have God's wisdom? It doesn't make sense. Wisdom is different from information. Some people have assumed that wisdom is knowing all the facts or understanding deep mysteries. That may describe earthly wisdom, but it's not the same as the wisdom of God. Wisdom is not a collection of data. Wisdom is not a process of applying the data. Wisdom is knowing God's direction in a time of crisis. Write that down. It's knowing and understanding God's direction in a time of crisis. It's, the wisdom is possessing the right way to respond to any given circumstance or condition. That's wisdom. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, allowed himself to drift away from the promises of God, from the direction of God. And the Bible says that this man, because he had many wives, they stole his heart. And he began to worship idols. Isn't that something? You got to apply this wisdom. You got to know what to do with it. When God gives you this wisdom, God is giving it for a specific purpose of walking in his will. And then that's where the resources come in. That's when God starts pouring into your life the things that you need. You know, because you have been wise, you now are handling more in way of possessions and things that God gave you because you walked in his wisdom. Don't go to sleep on me because I'll come over and preach to you and wake you up. Amen? Wisdom is both informative and inspirational. When God tells you something, he also inspires you with the ability to go and do it. God gives you that strength. He gives you that grace because he's given you his wisdom. So here's a couple of things that we need to bear in mind. When James asked that question, he was talking to the 12 tribes. Remember that. They're scattered all over the Roman Empire. They're being persecuted. They're being downtrodden. They are going through racial issues. They're having people to kill them, take away their property. And here's James asking, hey, you need wisdom? Do you need to understand what's going on? You remember the song Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? We are asking some of those same questions today. What in the world is going on? As the end time approaches, you don't need to be walking dumb spiritually. Did I get your attention? You don't need to be acting insane just because everybody else is, oh, this is blowing my mind. It ain't blowing my mind because if God gives you wisdom, he's going to show you now you're on this page of my Bible. Now you're in this chapter of Revelation, and you've got to walk in the security of knowing that God is with you every step of the way. Regardless of what you're going through, the wisdom of God will tell you, I ain't leaving you. I'm going to be there when you face your struggles and your trials. So you need wisdom. It inspires you. How many of you all have just faced stuff and you knew what the right answer was, but you just didn't have the energy? And you say, if I could only get motivated, I need something to help me. And that's when you ask God for wisdom, and that wisdom inspires you. He'll make you get up and go, get up and go. Amen? He'll give you the strength that you need because you have now asked God to give you something that your soul just desperately desires. Now, I want to say to some of you and warn you, you're probably saying, well, preacher, we know all this. You know, the Bible says about us in Romans 8:26, we don't even know how to pray how we ought to. Number one, we don't pray as often as we should. And then when we pray, we ask for the wrong stuff. James is going to say that a little bit later in the fourth chapter. He'll say, you ask, but you don't receive. And then when you ask with the wrong motives. You want it to have it so you can win the lottery and go out and buy yourself a new car. Caught you, didn't it? We ask with the wrong motives. All of us do that. All of us get to the place where we don't have the wisdom of God. And if you don't have the wisdom of God when you pray, you're going to mess up your prayer. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is right there with you, making intercession for you. Reverend Ray says sometimes he says no, and the Holy Spirit will say, no, they don't need that. What they need is this. But wouldn't it be good to have God's wisdom working in you? So just so you understand who James is writing to, he's writing to these Jews who've been scattered all over the Roman Empire, and they represent basically three different forms of people. You have the Jewish nationalists. You have the people who want to come up with a political solution and an economic solution to their problem. Don't we have that in our nation? People are thinking we can solve these things if we just had enough political engagement or if you had just a little bit more money. Money does not make the world go round. Money does not keep it on its axis. Money does not keep in place the gravitational force that holds you to the ground and keeps you from drifting off into outer space. Money can buy you a lot of things, but it cannot buy you the grace of God. It cannot buy the wisdom of God. And it certainly cannot bring about the power of God. And what I'm telling you, child of God, and the whole purpose of talking about God's wisdom gives you access into the resources of the kingdom. Every time you get on your knees and you pray, you are now entering into the kingdom zone where the things of God can be poured out into your life if you just ask. I'll get into that on our later services as we deal with that. So James is saying, first he said, count it all joy. How are you going to do that? You need wisdom. When you fall into various temptations, yeah, you fall into a virus too. We fell into that joker, didn't we? But you've got God's wisdom. You've got his wisdom to carry you. When your faith is being tested, wisdom will tell you, be patient. God's not done with you yet. This is going to work out. How many of you have been going through terrible times in your life and the Holy Spirit whispered to you, it's going to be okay? When you shook your head, and you said, it's impossible. God said, I told you it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. If you would for the first time, look at somebody and tell them, you're going to make it. That's the wisdom of God that's going to help you. Look at somebody else, tell them, you're going to make it. So James says, count it all joy. But then he says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He has something very specific in mind. And if you look at how you approach life and what you do as you approach life, you need God's wisdom. Two people in the Old Testament had the same position, but their approach to life was totally different. One was the first king, Saul. Saul, rather than seeking the wisdom of God, he sought his own way. And the only time he looked for God and needed God was when he got in trouble. That was Saul's approach. And because he was seeking his own way, listen to me, because he was seeking his own way, that became his undoing. That became the thread that unraveled everything because he did not seek the leadership of a nation by seeking God. He lacked the wisdom. Now here's King David occupying the same position, but with a very different approach. He always wanted the wisdom of God. Lord, what's your way of doing this? I read one time where he attacked the enemies, and the first time the Lord spoke to him and said, okay, David, you go this way, and you approach it from this way. And so as David approached, he was able to have victory. The second time the enemy came up, the Lord said, don't go that way. Use a different approach. Come over against them when you hear the sound in the mulberry trees. And while that verse may not make much sense to you,
That's God telling you, don't try to do the same thing all the time just because you thought it worked. Oh, wisdom is, oh, experience is the best teacher. No, it ain't. It'll tell you what you lost and what you couldn't do. You need some wisdom. Look at somebody a second time, tell them you need some wisdom. But you got to know what your need is. You may be praying to God, Lord, I need a Cadillac, or I need a Mercedes, or I need me a Jaguar. And the Lord is saying, what you really need is a good car. Or maybe my prayer, Lord, I need $1 million. And the Lord said, no, you don't. You simply need me to take care of you. And I'll guide you. And I'll bless you. And that you can say, I'm going to get to that in a later sermon. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have is Jesus. Anybody in the building today? So King David said, look, I'm not going to take that same approach. I'm not going to think that I know every situation, and I'm certainly not going to go on my own experience. David reflected two things that we need very importantly in our lives. He had this garment, a priestly garment, that was called the ephod. And everywhere he would go, he would pray. And it was just a representation of God. Don't get me wrong, it was not an idol because he was seeking God. He was using it to remember that the Lord was God. Look at what's on this table. It said, do this in remembrance of me. We don't worship that table, but we know the God, amen, that we serve, and we know the God that we're praying to when we do receive communion. Are y'all still in the building? But David represented two types of leadership. First, you have to always recognize you need God to bless you. I don't just come to church because I got a new suit to wear. I don't come to church because I want to show people what car I'm driving. I come to church because I desperately need God. Went through some stuff last week. Didn't think I was going to make it. Almost lost my mind, but thank God I need him. And because I need him, he is a way maker. So David recognized that first thing in his life, he needed God to bless him. But the second thing that he recognized in his life, never attempt anything without God's approval. Just don't do it. Always get God's permission. You need him to bless you, but even if you thought you did have the ability to deal with something, let's say, Lord, what do you think about this? How should I handle this issue in my life? And when you seek God and get his approval, things are going to work out. Things are going to work out. I'm telling you this because we're in some of the most critical times that we've ever been in. And the Bible talks about it. Failure of leadership. Men's hearts failing them because of fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. But what we're doing, we're looking up past the things that are coming upon the earth to the one who is coming. Y'all missed that. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Well, someday, somehow, we're going to sit there also because we love Jesus. But you got to have wisdom. Now is not the time for the church to play dumb. Now is not the time for you to think that a political party is going to get you out of this mess. Are y'all still here? Now, when you go to your voting booth, vote for whoever you want to, but don't depend on them because they ain't a waymaker. They're not a burden bearer. They can't heal you if you get sick. They can't take care of you when danger is all around. I feel like preaching today. You got to know where your help comes from. And even if they could come up with all the political right answers that they are, they still can't keep you from dying. When you come down to press a dying pillow, the governor can't come get you out of it. He can't help you cross Jordan. president, vice president. I like all of those folks. Pray for all of them. But guess what? I don't need them. I need God. Are y'all still here? I'm getting ready to close. I know some of y'all looking at the clock. Man, we got food on the stove and Rev up here preaching. Ask yourself this question. Do you really know what you really need? Do you really know what you really need? I didn't say what you think you need. Do you really know what you really need? Here's my point. God will supply all you need according to his riches, watch this, riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But he ain't going to supply all your wants. For instance, you know you're supposed to be on a special diet, and here goes some candy. Lord, bless this candy. Don't let my sugar go up. You know what you really need is leave that candy alone. I know I'm messing with somebody, and I'm guilty as charged. How many of y'all know this thing called gout? Anybody get familiar with that? Gout oftentimes is a dietary problem. What you ate is hurting you. I know I'm supposed to be preaching that, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. What you have to do is know what you really need. Amen? Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory, but there's no guarantee that God will give you what you want. But if you get in his will and walk according to his wisdom, he says he will create new desires in you, so he'll give you the desires of your heart. How good is that? God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. But James says you have to ask. Here we go again at James 4, verses 2 and 3. You have not because you ask not. Well, I ain't going to pray. Oh, I'm not going to ask God. I'm talking to somebody online. Amen. You're going to solve your own problem. You Superman, but now you ain't got your cape. And you're wondering what you're going to do. You better ask God. Lean upon the everlasting arms and God will make a way out of no way. But James runs us into a second issue. He said, you ask and don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives. You want it for one thing and God has a different plan. Never pray that God would get even with your enemy. Oh, I don't mess with somebody's theology. Well, I'm going to do unto them what they did unto me. That's not what the Bible said. Quit acting crazy. Do what the word says. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Am I helping somebody in here? Hello. You pray for them, and God will bless them. And then again, as Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to. So how do I know what I need? I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to close with a scripture verse that's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here was a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat sought to do right. He sought to serve God with all his heart, mind, and soul. And don't you know when you set your mind to do what's right, you can always have some haters. His enemies got together, the people of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. They banded together as a federation. And you say, you know what? We're going to wipe out Israel. Jehoshaphat recognizes, I got a need now. I know what the need is. So he asks God, just like James says, if you need something, you ask God. Here's his prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So he prays, oh God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Verse 12, look at that. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't have the answer. I'm the king, and yet I'm in a great need. But if you want to see some amazing things that happens in this chapter, first of all, God spoke to them. When you lack wisdom, the very first thing God is going to do, he's going to give you heaven's information. Why? Because you're reading the situation wrong. Problem comes your way, and you say to yourself, why did God send this problem my way? Oh, I must not be doing things right. Or something, ain't nothing wrong with you. There's something on the inside that God wants to bring out of you. Are y'all still here? And if you don't have it on the inside, he wants to put it in you. So that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the... Are y'all listening? Look at what happens. Verse number 15, the first thing God tells them, it ain't your battle. Lord, have mercy. Somebody ought to be shouting now. Stuff getting over your head, it ain't your battle. This battle belongs to the Lord. Say it with me, this battle belongs to the Lord. Can any of y'all solve the, what do you call that thing, corona? Anybody in here can solve it? Guess what? Your government can't solve it either. The nations can't solve it either. But guess who can? And matter of fact, guess who already has it solved? Lord Jesus, help me preach up in here. I'm so glad that no matter what day I wake up, the battle does not belong to me. It belongs to God Almighty. And guess what, folks? He didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Come on, shout with me. Come on, shout. God is not going to give up on you. God will not abandon you. He said he'll walk with you. And he'll talk with you when you go through the valley. Second thing God said to them, verse number 17, he says, I'm going to send you my salvation, but I want you to see it. He told them, stand still. Why? Because they were a mess. God said, just be still. Be still. And that's when you'll see the salvation of God. And so the people, after they'd gotten the encouragement from God, notice all it is just a word now. Nothing happened on the physical, at least in the earth realm. But what they had done, Jehoshaphat prayed into the kingdom realm, brought back the thing that he needed in the earth realm, and God says, the battle is not yours, it's mine. Oh, somebody ain't seeing this. You don't put on your armament and think, I got to fight this. No, 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 no. Let the Lord fight your battles, but you show up for duty. Ah, I wish I could show you. So God says to them, go out there, and what I'm going to show you is my salvation. I'm going to show you how I can get you out of trouble. The devil thought he was going to destroy you, but the devil is alive. I'm reading into the text. I know, but I'm telling you, in your life, the devil comes to haunt you, to steal and to kill, but Jesus came. Jesus came that you might have joy and have it more abundant, that you might have life within you. Walk like you got some life in you. Don't be going around with your head hung down like you don't know who won the battle. Hold your head up high. Lift your steps up and say, if the Lord be with me, everything is going to be all right. Come on, shout somebody. Come on, shout. Shout somebody. Third thing that happened. The king said, wait a minute. If God's going to fight this battle and if he's going to show us his salvation, what I want to do is I want to put the praise band in front of the army. Nobody goes to battle like that except those that know the battle already been won. I know you're singing that song, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, but you ain't out there to fight. You're there to be a witness. So Jehoshaphat said, what we gonna do today? We got a number one song that's singing up in glory. Praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. So here they come down to the battlefield. Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. And the Bible says that when they began to praise God, the Lord ambushed the enemy. Threw him into a fit of confusion. The folk that trying to hold you down, all of a sudden they were like, wait a minute, what's going on? God took away their mind because they were in their right mind. No way. And God gave you. I know I'm getting excited. Yes, I'm going to sit down in a minute, but just give me one more minute. When they walked out there, All their enemies were slain on the ground. And the Lord said, amen, the Lord said, I want you to go out there singing praises. Guess what I want y'all to do today? I want you to go out singing praises. I want you to rejoice and be glad, because the same God that was with you on yesterday gonna be with you today, and he's not gonna fail you. The Lord is a mighty warrior. You think you've seen God move in the past? You ain't seen nothing yet. Just let him be God. Next time you step into the doctor's office, ask the great physician, Lord, come on here with me, so that these doctors will know what to do. They'll know what medication to give me, and they'll be able to do a better job because they're inspired by you. But I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to thank you anyhow. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, let his name be praised. Here's my closing point. If you want to have victory, if you want to have the victory in life, get God's wisdom. He'll show you. He's got your battles. He'll fight them for you, and he'll keep you. Isn't that good? I tell you, I'm so excited. Amen. I'm so excited how good God is. So James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he'll give you what you ask. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Lord, you have showered blessings over us again and again, but today we're praying for wisdom. We want to know what's going on in the kingdom so we would know what's going on in our lives. We want to seek your kingdom because we know we need those resources more than the things of this world. While we're waiting for the next government stimulus, Lord, the kingdom of God has already stimulated us, and we are blessed and highly favored. All because of your mercy. Help us to learn that today. And Lord, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be good citizens. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, let us know where our primary citizenship is. It's not in this world. It's in your kingdom. Bless that soul that needs saving. And Lord, deliver them from darkness. That one that's on drugs today, we pray for them. That one, Lord, who's on the street, homeless, can't find a place to go. Lord, would you give them a place to lay their head? And let them know that you can provide for their need. And Lord, for that one that's getting on in years and wondering what tomorrow is going to bring, remind them that you own tomorrow and that you are our way maker. Bless, Lord, as only you can do. And we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm about done preaching myself happy up here. I'm telling you, Lord, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. And amen. The choir's going to give us a getting out of here song. And I know that it's supposed to be the closing song. I ain't no closing song. It's a getting out of here song. Because we're getting ready for some business in God's kingdom. He loves us dearly. He walks with us. He encourages us. And he keeps us. Amen. Brother Joe. Give the invitation if there be one today. If you're in here online, come to the Lord and know him. If you're online, write to us. Send us a note. pastor@crossroadbc.com. If you're in here, you can come forward and say, "Preach, I need what you're talking about. I want to be a part of our church fellowship." We invite you. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, we have the internet here. And one of the things, as the pastor was preaching here, it tells me to just look up the word as I follow his sermon. And interestingly, I looked up the word for wisdom. And I went into Yahoo, but Yahoo put me through Google. And here is what it says. Listen to this, Pastor. Just the sermon that he just preached. Holy wisdom, also called divine wisdom, is the theological idea that perfect wisdom is to be found in God alone. I mean, this is an idea that is true. And I love this sermon. And I love the fact that, you know, God gives us wisdom to make wise decisions. Let us pray. Father, this morning we are so grateful and so thankful that thou has enabled us to come together to hear thy manservant to proclaim your word, your truth. So, thou, Lord, as we receive it, we pray that the Holy Spirit will motivate us, will drive us to our various homes, so that we, O God, can go out into our community, in our neighborhood, and share that message of truth to those who do not know you. Lord, we ask, O God, that you continue to bless this church, continue to bless everything, O God, that we do, because we do know, dear Lord, that you are with us. Lord, we continue to pray, dear God, for the situation, Lord, that is occurring in Europe. Oftentimes, Lord, the Spirit tells us to pray for people. But we know, Lord, that leaders, some of them who do not know you, cannot pray to you because they do not have access. But we as believers, we do. And that we can pray and ask, oh God, that you can bring a peaceful solution to this problem so that we can live in harmony with each other. Bless us now and dismiss us with thy blessings, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.